words be true?
Let your mouth and words be changed. Anybody here? Yeah, you guys are receiving this word. I tell you what, this is such a timely word. I believe also is a lesson that is very much bringing new life to us, because we're all operating in these principles we're talking about already. Every one of us here, if you have a voice and you're able to speak, you're already operating either in life or death, according to what Proverbs says, that the power of life and death are found in the power of the tongue. And so we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. You can't say, well, Pastor, I don't believe this, so I think I'll sit out this series. You don't have that option if you're speaking. You're already participating. You're just going to decide which way do you want to participate. Scripture says that when we get our words out of alignment, that our life is out of alignment. That when we get our words back into alignment with what the Holy Spirit wants to do, then our life gets back into alignment. Isn't that so amazing? We've been reading and talking over a few weeks about how the scripture says that when we serve God, but our mouth is out of control, he says serving God is useless. Basically, he says, can I just break it down for you? Someone say, Pastor Gene, just break it down how it is, okay? How many want me to just tell you how it is? Raise your hand, okay? All right. You can say you love Jesus all you want. You can say you want to do all these great things for him, but if you can't get your mouth under control, it's going to bear no fruit. That's what scripture says, okay? And so we want to be fruit-bearing people. We don't want to be out saying, I love God with one word, and then out ruining our testimony with other things that come out of our mouth. Using our mouth become words of death versus words of life. So we got to learn, this is Christianity 101, if we'll get this mouth under control, it says the rest of our life will begin to spiritually line up into the way God has designed it. And when the mouth's out of alignment, the rest of it's out of kilter as well. And so this is why we're spending so much time. This is the sixth message in this series on the power of words. Last week, we talked about this principle over the last few weeks, how the only way, Scripture says, our mouth is out of control. Okay? And we all can agree with that. He says your mouth really is full of poison. It's out of control, and he says this, that the only way we know that our mouth can get control back where it needs to be in alignment is when we give control of our words and our mouth to the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to align our words and mouth where it needs to be. On your own, it's physically impossible. It's physically impossible to get your mouth corrected by yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So last week we talked about the power of your spiritual language. And if you missed that sermon and you have questions about that, I invite you, go online to last week's sermon at mydestinychurch.com. Get that sermon, download it down, listen to it. It answers questions about speaking in your spiritual language and how the power of that comes to relevancy in our life. Today I want to talk to you about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to give control of our mouth to the Holy Spirit, we must realize this, that we got to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to get right into it today, and I'm going to show you exactly what Scripture says about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it's possible for every believer. Let me say this to you. We know this, that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we do not have to fear any gift, right? Some of you here, you're afraid when you hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like, woo, man. Some of you get afraid right away because somewhere along the line, somebody taught you to stay away from that, or they haven't taught you about that. That's just too weird for me to think about, or you fear that already. Let me say this to you. We do not have to fear any gift that God has for his kids. Let me say again. We do not have to fear any gift that God has for his children. And it's like I said last week, we would not think about leaving any gift unwrapped under the tree here in a few weeks at Christmas time. We don't have to worry about that. Every gift's going to be opened more than once, as I said in the first service. Those gifts are going to be unwrapped when you're not home, Mom, and wrapped back up so you don't know. But your mama knows, but she doesn't care. And so this is what I'm going to tell you right now, okay? And so you're unwrapping, and you're trying to see what the box says. You have an idea. Then your mom gets smart, and she wraps your present in a different box, so you don't know. And all the smart moms said, amen, okay. But we're not going to have any gifts unwrapped. Why would we leave in our spiritual walk? Why would we leave these gifts that God has for us unwrapped? We would never think about doing that. We want every gift, right? You're going like, I want every gift God's got for me. That's what our heart's desire should be today, that we want every gift that God has for us. And so let's talk about this today. As we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, let me give you three baptisms. We're going to spend the majority of our time talking about the third one, which is the baptism of the Spirit. But every believer has three baptisms that we go through. Number one, we have the Holy Spirit that baptizes us in Jesus. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. And we can back this up according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, which says it like this. Paul said, for by one Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, when Paul writes about one body, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ. And so we see this, that Paul says by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. And so how did you know you needed to be saved? Something in your heart changed, didn't it? Your heart, something when you knew you were ready to give your life to Jesus, something in your heart knew that I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins and to be Lord of my life. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to you. He's been speaking to you even before you were a Christian. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit's already been working in your life. He's the one that's speaking to you saying you need to give up and you need to ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and to accept him as Lord of your life. That's what the Holy Spirit's job does. He convicts us and then we obey. And what happens? It says at that point that the Holy Spirit then baptizes us into the body of Christ. And what that simply means, when we're talking about baptism, we're talking about immersion. And why is that important? Let me tell you, this is a big thing. Being baptized in Jesus is a huge thing. Because on my own, I'm not good enough. On your own, you're not good. I don't care how good you are. None of us here are good enough. The righteousness requires 100% perfection that you and I cannot obtain. Even if you have one tiny sin in your life, you are unperfect. You are unrighteous. And so when we are baptized into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes me. I am washed in the blood. I am covered. And when I come back up, I've been baptized into Jesus. And no longer when God looks at me, does he see my imperfection? No longer does he see my sin, but he sees me washed in his son's blood. And he says, that person is made righteous. So it's a huge thing that I am baptized in the body of Christ. The second baptism we see is the disciples. They baptize us with water. The disciples baptize us in water. Water baptism. We see this in Scripture, Matthew 28:19. Jesus gave the command. The last thing he said before he ascended to heaven, this was the command he gave. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And so today, any believer can baptize somebody who wants to be baptized. Now, most of the time we have our pastors do it. That's a tradition thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We love doing that. But there's also many times a destiny, you'll see somebody get up and baptize a friend. And that's okay, too. If you lead somebody to the Lord and you want to baptize them, we welcome that and love that. Okay, sometimes fathers will want to get up and baptize their children. That's okay. We believe in that because you're qualified. If you're a believer, you're qualified to baptize other new believers. And so this is what he's saying. He says, go for it. Therefore, make disciples, baptizing them. He was talking about the water baptism. Let me say this to you. How many people think, well, Pastor, I just don't know if water baptism is really what I need. I'm not really sure if I need to be water baptized. Let me just say it to you like this. There's only one person who has this argument. It was Jesus, right? Jesus was the only person who could have this argument that he lived the perfect life. So if one person said this, out of all the people in the world who's ever lived, ever been, there's only one person who deserved not to be baptized. Was Jesus baptized? Yes, he was. He was baptized for our example, and he commanded us to go and be baptized as well. So if Jesus needs to be baptized, how much more do you and I need to be baptized? This is an important part
of the Christian faith and Christian walk, that I am baptized. What does baptism do? Baptism is not your salvation, but baptism says this: I am publicly making a confession that I am identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The symbolizing of the old man being buried, passing through the cleansing waters, and coming up saying, I am submitting my life to the new man that God's calling me to be, the new woman God is calling me to be. It's a public confession of our faith, identifying with the old being washed away, the new coming. And so if you haven't been water baptized yet and you want to be water baptized, next week we're going to baptize. We got around 30 already signed up to be baptized. It's going to be an awesome service. In the first and second service, both, we're baptizing people. So if you want to be baptized, stop by the information booth in the back and sign up. Put your name and number down so we can get you on the list to be baptized next week for water baptism. It's important, okay? Very much important part of the Christian walk. Maybe some of you here, you were baptized as a young child. And when you got older and you fully understood about giving lordship of Jesus in your life, you say, I fully understood and I began to change my life as an adult or a young adult. And then I also wanted to do baptism again because I was doing a fresh commitment. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you would like to do that as well, I did that at a time later on in my life, baptized as a child. Then as an adult, when I fully gave my heart to Christ and really had a full understanding, I also wanted to be baptized again. So if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Let's go to the third baptism today. We're going to spend the majority of our time, the rest of our time. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. This word in the Holy Spirit is very important because we see the first one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. And sometimes we'll ask people to say, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And some people get this confused because it's very easy when you see the words that Paul wrote here, they get confused. Yeah, I was baptized in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit at salvation. But this is clearly two different things, okay? It's clearly two things. One is a baptism by the Holy Spirit, and one is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, an immersion in the Holy Spirit. And we can prove this point all throughout Scripture, and we're going to look at that today, and I want to spend this time talking to you about the importance of this and the importance Scripture puts on every one of us receiving this third baptism in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water. Now remember, this is John the Baptist talking. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming, he's talking about Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, remember in Scripture, when we see the word fire, when we see oil, these things all also a symbolic and representation of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. He says, Jesus is coming. He goes, I'm baptizing you in repentance. I'm baptizing you in water baptism. But the day's coming, he's not the one I'm baptizing. He's going to turn around and he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this Holy Spirit baptism is such an important part. We see in the Gospels, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are called the four Gospels, okay? And some of you maybe wonder, why do all these stories seem to be similar? Because we see in Scripture that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all similar Gospels. They all chronologize the birth of Jesus, and they also talk about the last year of his ministry. But John came along, he's like, hey, no one wrote about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had 3 years of ministry. So John came along, and he also said, let me pen and talk about, as the Holy Spirit gave him the leading, talked about some of the things that happened in Jesus' first 2 years of ministry. That's why you'll see some stories in John that you don't see in the other three Gospels. But you see, in the other three Gospels, a lot of the stories all match up and are very similar because they're all giving an account of what happened. So reason why I say that, say this, is really only four things you'll see in all four of the Gospels. Because of that, there's only four things you really see in all the gospel. You'll see the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And the fourth thing you'll see in all four Gospels also is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is the weight of the message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can find it in the weight. It's found in all four of the Gospels. The only other thing we find in all four of the Gospels is the birth, death, and resurrection. So this is the weight that's being put upon baptism, according to Scripture. We find the same story that we just read, the same story in Mark 1:8. You'll find the same story in Luke 3:16. And then John pins it a little bit different slant, but he gives a similar story, but a little bit different slant. Let's read his version in John 1:33. talking about Jesus. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. Now, this remaining is an important part. Remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with what? The Holy Spirit. Now, we know according to the rest of the stories we see in the Gospels, it says that the Holy Spirit came down as like a dove and descended on and remained on Jesus. You say, Pastor, why is that important? Because at this point in Scripture, the Holy Spirit only came at certain times on people. People did not keep the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would fall upon kings, or it would fall upon certain prophets, or it would fall upon Samson, and it would move on them at times to do great things, but it didn't remain. So this is the first time we see where the Holy Spirit is being descending and remaining. It wasn't a dove, it says it was like a dove. Basically, what's happening when he translates this out, he's trying to speak in a colorful language that you and I can get a word association, a picture, so we can all imagine a dove flying. He said, I spiritually seen the Holy Spirit come, float down like a dove, and descend on Jesus and stay with him. And he said, the Father who instructed me to baptize said, this is the one. He goes, you're going to baptize in water, but this one who you see the Spirit coming, Jesus, and descending upon him, he shall then baptize with what? The Holy Spirit. This is important to realize that Jesus is called to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So we see the same theme throughout Scripture. Salvation, water, and the Holy Spirit. Salvation, water, and the Holy Spirit. And this theme runs all the way from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. We'll find this theme. Salvation, water baptism, and the Holy Spirit baptism. Acts 1:4-5. Jesus said to them, remember, this is the last thing he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? Wait for the what? The promise. Everybody say the promise. This is important. Remember, Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And then he, what? He identifies what the promise is. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is saying the promise is this. There's a promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as for every believer. He says, wait for it, for it's coming. That promise. It's there. Wait. And then we see this happening to fruition just the next chapter over in Acts chapter 2. Remember now, the day of Pentecost has fully come. The 50 days after Passover has fully come. The Holy Spirit is poured out for the first time. They're all speaking this heavenly language, and people are like, what is going on? And everybody's coming together, and it's like, are they drunk? What's going on? And remember, Peter stands up for the first time and says, no, they're not drunk. Let me tell you what's happening. They just received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Jesus that you mocked and you crucified, he was the true Messiah. And whether you want to believe it or not, he was the Messiah. And he preaches very boldly to them. And says 3,000 people are like, what do we got to do to be saved? And they accept Jesus. And look what Peter says to him now. He talks to him about their salvation. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, this is what they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay? So the New Testament believers are asking, what do we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. So we see, he says, repent, salvation, be water baptized, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says, for the promise. Jesus just talked about that in the chapter before. This promise that Jesus talked about is to you, those in the upper room, those 3,000 that were saved. He says, this is for you. Now, some people think, this is their argument. All right, that Holy Spirit thing, baptism, that was just for the people there to experience in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That's not for us today. That's one argument you hear, which really has no weight when you continue to read the rest of the story. It's very clear. This is what Peter says. This promise of the Holy Spirit baptism is to you, your children, and to all. Do we need that definition? That means to what? Every one of us. Who are what? Afar off. Once this translates, it says to all generations, from generation to generation to generation, as many as the Lord God will call. As God called you out of darkness into his light. Yes, he is. That's why you're here today. He's calling you out of darkness. He has called you into the family of God. The Holy Spirit has baptized you into the family, the body of Christ. He says this promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every generation. Let me put it in words that we can understand. This milk doesn't go bad. You don't have to empty it out your closet and say, this pantry's got too many things that are expired. I got to throw it away. It's not for me. It's expired. Oh, I got the winning ticket. Too bad. It's expired. How many love to find a coupon and you're going to the restaurant? You're like, yes, I get buy one, get one free. We're eating for half price today. I'm going to get there and find out that coupon expired last week. That's a very frustrating thing, isn't it? Well, my kids lost it. Can you please use it one time? It's frustrating when it expires. This is a great thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has not expired. It's for every generation. It's for all of us. He said it's the gift. It's the gift. If I tell Tom, I'm going to give you my watch here. Tom's like, Pastor Gene, I love that white watch. It's so fly. I like that. It would look good in my boots. I need this watch. And so I'm like, Tom, I'm going to give you this watch as a gift. And I give it to him, and I hand him the band and walk away. And I keep the face of the watch to myself. What did I just do? Did I give him the gift? No. See, when we get a gift, we get all the gift. Are you catching what I'm trying to talk to you? God's got so much more to us. Some of us here, we've only allowed ourselves to receive only partial gifts. We receive the gift of salvation. We receive the gift of water baptism. But some of us here have not ever received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's for you. Why would you only want a half of a gift? I want the whole enchilada, baby. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. Turn your neighbor and say, it's my money and I want it now. I want it now. And I want what God has. I want every gift God has for me. And listen to me. Do not live in fear of any gift God has for you. It's only going to make you better. It's only going to help you, empower you. So we know this to be very true. It's for every believer. And we see this happening. If this argument that was only for the upper room, and then why did we read this story in Acts 2:37? We just saw it happen there. Then we see another story in Acts chapter 8. Look what it says in Acts chapter 8. But when they believed, Philip as he preached, this is Philip preaching this time, not Peter. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were what? They were baptized. Talking about water baptism. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was also baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed, seeing the miracles, the signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John unto them. Look what happens next. Who they had come down. So Peter and John go there. They've all been water baptized. And now Peter and John said, we pray for them that they might receive what? The Holy Spirit. For as yet they had not fallen on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received what? The Holy Spirit. So they had already been saved. They got water baptized, and he says, also you need to be receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Was this on the day of Pentecost? No, it wasn't. This is later. This is a great time later. See this happen. Same story in Acts chapter 19. Similar story in Acts chapter 19. We see the same pattern here. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. They only find a few disciples there, but he said, hey, I found some. And he asked this question. It's the same question I ask you today. Every believer today, I ask you the same question. This is the question Paul asked. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And some of them, their answer is the same answer that some of you have today, because you're like, no one even told us, Pastor. So they said to him, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, I grew up in that church, Pastor. They didn't tell me anything about the Holy Spirit. And since coming to Destiny, I'm finding out for the first time. And your eyes are being opened. Your ears are being opened to what God has for you. And it's okay, because this is what they're saying. We had never even heard of it. So this is what happens. They begin to instruct. And he said to them, into what words are you baptized in? They said, in John's baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized you with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus. When they heard of this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they said, we're baptized in John. Jesus said, came. So he said, all right, we re-baptize you now in the name of Jesus, not in John's baptism, but now you're being baptized in the name of Jesus. They were water baptized. And then after that, look what happens again. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. So we see happening here three different times. We see the repentance, the baptism of repentance. We see the baptism of water. And then we see a separate impartation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So clear. Was this on the day of Pentecost? No, it wasn't. It was much greater time after that. Look what 1 John says in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. We know this, the Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. When he says the Word, we know the Scripture says when he's talking about the Word, he's talking about the Son. Remember, he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. So we know when oftentimes it'll refer to the Word, it's talking about the living Son, Jesus. So there's the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We all believe in the Trinity here. I think that's something we can all agree upon. He said, these three bear witness in heaven. But look what he says here about the power of bearing witness on earth. But there are also three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Isn't this amazing? He says, these three will bear witness on earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Water symbolizes what? The baptism of water. The blood represents the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross that washed away our sins. The baptism of repentance. Isn't it so clear as we look at it and say, boy, God, you had this pattern all through Scripture all along. My eyes are being opened. You said these three things will agree together. The Spirit, the water, the blood. These three also agree. So at salvation, look at this. At salvation, we become a new creation, a new person. Isn't that awesome? At salvation, it says all things are made new. My old man becomes new. At salvation, we become a new creation. At water baptism, we are symbolizing the burying of the old man. I'm submitting that my flesh would pass through the waters and saying, I am burying my old man. I'm resurrecting and saying, I'm stepping out a new man, a new woman in Jesus Christ. See, my water baptism, I'm burying that old man. But listen, this is the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we receive the power to walk in the new man. Some of you have been trying to walk in this new man, and it's been a hard thing for you. It's been a very difficult thing. You've been trying to walk in this new man, this new woman that God's called me to be, but man, I just cannot keep my flesh under subjection to what God wants me to do, Pastor. I struggle all the time, and it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. And I say to you, I wonder how much easier it would be if we would just learn to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? I'm immersing myself in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to learn to control my mouth. I wonder how much trouble that would save us. How much easier our walk would be. How much more powerful would our testimony be when I say, I'm immersing myself in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to become the witness He's calling me to be. I'm going to learn to be a Spirit-led person while I allow the Spirit to immerse me. It's amazing what will change in our life. Let me make it very clear. Theology, let me wrap it up for you this way. Make it very clear. To go to heaven, all you need is salvation. The Scripture is very clear that we repent and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, Pastor, some people taught me you got to receive water baptism to make it to heaven. And well, we can very easily look at Scripture and see, well, that's not the case, because we can look at the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, remember when Jesus was being crucified, he had both thieves on both sides. And said, so one thief cursed him, and the other thief said, leave him alone. He's the Son of God. He's done nothing wrong. He saw him for lordship, and he confessed him as Lord on that cross. And Jesus looked at him and said, today, you'll be with me in heaven. You'll be with me in paradise. Now, it would have been nice if the thief said, hey, just a second, guys. I know you're trying to kill me. But I just accepted Jesus here. Can you get me down off this cross and water baptize me before you finish the job. Didn't happen. No. And Jesus said, yeah, today you'll be with me in heaven. So we know that today, but is it important? It was so important that Jesus was baptized. It's a command that we are baptized. And if you're not, if you're a believer today and you had not done water baptism, you're walking in disobedience. It's plain and simple. And you're not going to experience the fullness of the Christian walk until we learn to be compliant, not only compliant, but submit our will and say, God, I want to be obedient to everything you have for the believer. And I want to experience it. And the same thing, I will walk without the power that God intended for me to walk in this new man if I just don't simply open myself up and say, God, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I miss out. I want it all. And we see this all the way. Let me close with this example to you. In the Old Testament, we see where God was already setting this up. I want you to get this. This is something that wasn't just like spirit of moment thing. Jesus all of a sudden says, oh, you know what? I think I'll just make the Holy Spirit show up here. No, this has been God's plan all along. We can find it in the tabernacle of Moses. Remember when in the Old Testament, when he set up the tabernacle. I'm not going to go into the tabernacle in great detail, but let me just give you some of the things that were in the tabernacle. When you first walked in the front door, there's only one door, one way in, one way out. Let me say this to you. There's only one day, only one way to heaven. It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, confessing of our sins. He has died for your sins. Yes, he has died for the sins of the world, but we must believe in our heart and confess that he is Lord, okay, to enter that door. So we confess and we enter that door. It says the first thing we do is we stop. Remember, he commanded them to take the blood of the lamb. They had to sacrifice their lamb as a sacrifice. The blood was shed of the lamb. The next thing they went to after they shed the blood of the lamb, they had to wash up. They had to clean up, and they had to lavender of water. They washed themselves, cleansed themselves. The step to the next station was oil. They had the flask of oil. They were anointed them with oil. And then they could allow to go into the holy place, the presence of God. And so we see this same thing. What does the altar represent? The blood of Jesus, salvation. What is the next step? They had to wash themselves in water, water baptism. What's the next step? They were anointed with oil. They allowed themselves to be anointed with oil. We had to allow ourselves to be anointed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they were allowed to go into the presence of God. The problem is this. We have way too many people who come through the door and they go to the altar of salvation and then they want to circumvent and go around and try to walk into the presence of God without taking the other steps. Do you know how dangerous that was in the Old Testament? If you did that in the Old Testament, you didn't live. They would walk into the presence of the Holy Spirit. If they didn't go through all the steps right, according to how God stepped out, they would fall over dead right there. By God's grace, he doesn't do it today. But what I'm telling you is this. If some of you here want to experience the fullness of God's presence, you're never going to experience the fullness of God's presence until you take the steps that he's laid out for us. Salvation. I'm baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. I become obedient and submit myself to water baptism. And then I simply say, God, I want to receive an immersion of the baptism of your Holy Spirit. I want to learn to say, I want to immerse myself in the Holy Spirit. I want to give control of my life to the Holy Spirit. I want to receive every gift the Holy Spirit has in my life. We don't have to fear it. It's a thing of empowerment that God wants to do. So today, if you're here, I'm just going to ask you very simple this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want to just receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've never received it before. I never asked for it before. Or maybe you have. And you say, Pastor, today I just want to step out. I want a fresh dose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I want you to join me in the front right here. I'm going to just pray for you today. We're going to close out this song. If you want to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, join me in the front today. Stand on your feet. Join me in the front as we come. Say, I'm ready to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Just scoot into the front, make room for those coming into the front. Say, man, I want to receive every gift, Pastor. This is awesome. I'm telling you. You're changing your life right here. Say, I'm just opening up. I want every gift God has for me. Scoot in, guys, to the front a little bit. Make room for those coming around the back. I appreciate it. Thank you. How many know when you accept Jesus, you accept him with a prayer of what? A prayer of faith, right? It's a prayer of faith. Same thing. We're getting ready to pray a prayer of faith. It's the same. God, I want you just to baptize me with your Holy Spirit. It's just a prayer of faith. So I want you to do this right here. I want you just to place your palms up like this in a receiving position. All right, now, I want you to simply say this. By faith, say, Dear Jesus, I ask you right now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit in my life. Saturate me with your Holy Spirit. I give you full control of my life. From this day forward, I submit my will to the Holy Spirit. I submit my life to the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to leave here different. I want to leave here empowered. I want to walk with a new power that God has for me. And I receive now the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Come on. Make it the prayer of your heart. Say, let it be a fire. Remember, fire is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Let a fire burn in my heart today. Fill my heart. Come on, TJ.
Now come on, everybody. Let's lift up our hands and sing this together. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more.
Let's lift our hands one more time.
I want more.
Father, in the name of Jesus, just as Paul preached and declared, just as Peter preached and declared, just as Philip preached and declared, Father, as the pastor of Destiny Church today, I preach and I declare right now that they will receive an impartation, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And every life here that is opening up their heart to you this morning, that God, there is a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit being immersed on every person who's receiving this by faith. Father, right now, that God, you are changing us. You are empowering us. That God, you are giving us every good gift. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that the floodgates of heaven are open. And God, right now, Lord, a wave of your Holy Spirit begin to set upon each person in this place. God, you are changing our hearts. You are changing our minds. You are changing our tongues. You are changing our lives. Father, right now, as we declare that we want nothing more than all of your Holy Spirit in our life. Every gift, God, we want. We want every gift of you. Come on, make it personal. Say, God, I want every gift. All of you. God's Spirit is awesome, isn't it? You can just feel it coming through here like a gentle wave. Some of you say, man, I feel it so heavy, Pastor. Maybe some other of you in here, you say, I'm not sure if I feel it. It's all right. It's called faith, okay? You're saying, by faith, God, I receive that. By faith, I receive that. That's all I want you to do. As we're learning that, we're supposed to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow morning when you get up, this is your assignment. Tomorrow morning when you get up, I want you to get up when you put your feet on the floor. I want you to look to the heavens and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. Ain't that a good plan? Let's say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. Every morning when you get up, I want you just to pray that prayer. God, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. We're going to walk this day out. I am walking in your baptism. I'm walking immersed in your leading in my life. Let's see if our day doesn't go a little smoother. Let's see if we don't have some more power for resistance and things in our life that we're called to resist. Let's see if we don't walk in a heavy anointing with our words. Let's see if our lives just begin to line up. Let's see if our words don't get back into submission of where they need to be, back into a right alignment. Get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's do this thing together. Amen. Come one more time. Put your hands together and give God a praise. Amen. God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're so good to us, God. And we say we receive. At Destiny Church, we say we believe and we receive every gift that the Father has for His church. We will not shun any gift, but God, we openly embrace and seek and want to walk and operate in every gift that the Father has for us. We open up our life to your word today, God. We say, may this word come alive in our heart as we learn to walk in our third baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let me give you praise. Let me say amen. And remember, tonight, you got life groups, all high school students. We have a life group here in the coffee shop for you at 6 o'clock. Come out. They're having a good turnout. You'll enjoy that, all high school age students. GAP tonight, young adults. They're meeting GAP service. Man, they're on fire. They're going to be some Holy Ghost in that place tonight, I guarantee you. Get plugged in. God bless you very much.